Hey, Reg, how you doing, my friend? Yeah, so here we are in April, and, you know, my voice, I did not really catch, I maybe had a cold. Yeah, it was a very mild winter here, so I don't even think we got 15 inches of snow. Ridiculous. So, yeah. Difficult talking. No, the instrument has been in good shape. Made it through the winter. So now here we are in the spring and summer. No problems there, I would assume. Fall. So hopefully we're going to go straight through calendar year 2024 with the strong instrument. Do I sound peppy? I got a few emails about your peppy comment there, Reg. Anyway, are we ready to go? Let's do this thing. Put it in the books. Episode 411, 411. Star, smile, strong. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. Guess who's there? Don't forget, if you like what you hear, listening is an important part of it. Well, if you like what you hear, it's your job to get out there and tell everybody else what you like to hear. Let's grow that tent, that podcast tent. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone that you know who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs, too. That loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. If you do like what you hear, obviously, hopefully you've been around. You're listening now. So keep listening. There's so much to listen to. There's no need to check out other things. This podcast takes care of all your needs, information, entertainment. You name it. And boy, do we have some episodes. If you go to the WGNRadio.com website, you hit podcast, hit the plot for this, and just keep scrolling down and loading more. After all, this is episode 411. 411. Wow. So, I've always amazed. It's always an interesting phenomenon, happening, occurrence, whatever you want to call it. This medium of broadcasting is unique. It's changed, as I've said many times, from the business side of it. But from this other side of the mic, it's also changed. But there are some, I guess, staples of it. There are some just unmovable truths about broadcasting, especially on the radio or television. We, you know, unless there's a live audience, and in television many times there is, but in radio there isn't really. And sometimes if we do a remote broadcast, there's an audience. But for the most part, it's an interesting situation. You're in a room alone for the most part. Yes, there's an engineer. I've got Reggie here with me. But you're isolated. Now, on live radio, even though people don't call in as much anymore, which is a shame because I always enjoy the immediate interaction. A lot of people text now, which is fine, but you know, it's nice to have a conversation. And there used to be the way you would gauge how you were doing to some extent was how were the phones doing? How, you know, were the phones always lit? You at least figured, okay, I'm appealing to somebody. Someone's listening and somebody's reacting, because there was really no other way to gauge it. And even though you can gauge it now by by texts, it still seems it's a little, it's not as immediate in that you can't talk to the person. Now I know that few people talk on their phones anymore, sadly. The whole world is texting and typing, and I think we've lost a lot in our social discussion because of that. I think we've lost a lot of social skills. Oh my gosh! Do you listen to people on TV or radio today? Wow! I mean, there are so many verbal tics and verbal acne, or whatever you want to call it. The word actually, the word right, the word like. You can't even use that. Everybody uses like. I mean, especially younger people. Oh my gosh, like. You can count the likes, but you can now count the actuallys, which, as I've said many times, adds nothing to the conversation or your statement. I actually went. No, you went. What do you mean you actually went, as opposed to what? I can believe you went. Actually. And now, of course, and I've talked about this probably 2 years ago, and it's even worse now. So, you know, my my complainings don't have much impact, obviously. But the word super, oh, my God. We've got adults using the word super as an adjective. It's lazy talking. It doesn't add anything, and you sound like a teenage girl. And that's where it came from. Wow! I mean, I hear adults. I hear people that get paid to speak for a living on television. Super. It's super fun. How about using the word enjoyable? How about having something of a vocabulary? Don't just put super in front of an easy word. That's like the word very. Very, you don't hear very anymore. Very has been substituted, has been replaced by super. Everybody also used very. When I was growing up, when I was learning to write in English class, throughout my career, throughout my education, I was constantly told that very is lazy writing and it's lazy speaking. You're just throwing a word that is adding nothing. There's a word that means that. Go find the word. Don't just be lazy. But super. Super is immature to me. It's an infantile word. It's an adolescent word. And to hear adults use, fine. If you're a teenager, I'll let you use super, fine. But if you're an adult, don't you're not sounding cool. Oh, anyway, and if you use super, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just saying, you'll never hear me use super. I think if you're an adult, I just don't think. If you're trying to sound cool to be with your kids, then maybe there's a reason for that. But if I'm watching some broadcasters or listening to broadcasters who are talking about a serious subject, about, you know, war or famine or whatever, and I hear somebody say super, they've lost credibility in my book. But that's just a little aside. There are other words that you can use. If something is super exciting, then why don't you use compelling? How's that? Was that so hard of a word to come up with? Yeah, it maybe takes a little more time to think than just adding in your super. This is super tasty. How about delicious? How does that go? Was that a hard word for you to think of? But you said super. Oh, it was super crowded. How about we went into the restaurant and it was packed? Doesn't that mean the same thing? There's other words that you can use, and they're not that. You don't need to be Noah Webster to say, "Oh, well, Jim, you're being snooty." Or, you know, you'll have a better vocabulary. No, is delicious? Is packed? Is that? Are those tough words? Is compelling or captivating? Are those words that you've never heard before? It was super fun. It was enjoyable, right? Isn't that what enjoyable means? I was super excited. Were you ecstatic then about that? If you were excited, that doesn't need a super or a very. Excited is the word. You don't need any more embellishment. But wow, are we in a super? We're in a super culture right now. Everything is super. Lazy speaking. Anyway, I don't even know why I got on that. I've been hearing that so often. I guess it's, I just needed to get that off my chest. Oh, but my original point was, I enjoy the interaction with the audience, and so very often with the podcast, as I said, it's hard. You don't get that instant reaction. If I say something, you know, I'm recording it. It's a couple of days before it's posted. Then it's posted that somebody hears it. They might listen to it a week later. So there's, you know, that's why I frequently encourage you to post, if you've got any comments about the podcast, to post them on my Facebook page. I do include a link to it 3 days a week on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. So if you listen to it and you want to make a comment, positive or negative, doesn't matter. I enjoy the feedback, and I miss that about live radio, because even when I am on occasionally, few people call in. It's mostly texts, and there's an aspect now of radio that we've lost something. I think callers are, they add an interesting concept and an interesting element to the show. Feedback, positive or negative, I don't care. And what I'm even more so, as I said before, when you're broadcasting, you don't really know if you're connecting. You don't know if you're saying what you're saying, what you're talking about, what you're doing is interesting or bad or good, because it's while you're doing it, you don't really get a lot of feedback. Sometimes there's people in the room and they may smile and laugh or nod, but you know, it's hard to tell. As I said, you know, an engineer or producer, they're doing their job too. Sometimes they're not really listening close and you're trying to make a point. You just know, you hope that you're connecting. And then you get a response and you go, okay, as I said, positive or negative. In my view, I would rather our people are reacting in some way. If they're not responding even negatively, it means it's background noise. If I say or do something that gets someone upset or mad enough to call or text, I almost take that as a badge of honor. At least they're listening. They're paying attention. They may not agree with me, and I don't expect them to agree with me on everything. That's crazy. It's an unrealistic expectation, but at least they're engaged, and that's the goal. What's even more unbelievable and fun and exciting about this medium is when you get a response back from somebody or a comment, not about something that you've just talked about, but something that you may have spoken about months ago or years ago, or something that has become a part of your persona that people identify with you, and you don't even mention it all that much, but you know it's every so often it's a, you know, you've mentioned it enough as you've established this persona that you have in broadcasting, your personality, whatever it may be, you become identified with it to some extent. But you don't always talk about it. You don't always bring notice to it. But people remember that about you. And we do that with anyone. It's not just in broadcasting. But I have, you know, my experience is that there's many people that I don't even know. As I said before, the great mystery of this is I don't even know if anybody is listening or if, I mean, I could find out those numbers. I don't know how difficult or hard it is, but on a regular basis, I don't get that information. And even if I did, and they said, let's say they said there's 5,000 people that listen every week, or there's 10, I don't know. I certainly don't know every one of them, right? And so you, once again, you don't know why they're listening, who's listening, what they're listening for, what they're liking, what they're disliking. It's a difficult thing. So you do what you do, and you hope that people out there react to it. But there's this other side that we all have of our personalities, that people, when we come to know somebody, whether it's through the radio or television or just through interpersonal relationships, we know things about people, and something reminds us of them. And I have the advantage of doing this, where you have a Facebook page. Now everybody can do it. It's not just from broadcasting. I in theory, reach a lot of people more than the average person might in talking about different topics and things. But every so often, to me, it's a great compliment, and it's exciting when somebody will mention something that I said or something that I did or something that they associate with me that I haven't even thought of in years, and they still remember it. So that gives me a little hint that perhaps what I'm doing or how I do it does manage to sneak into people's awareness and their memories. And that's very satisfying, and that's one of the reasons I do this. I've always enjoyed talking, and so that's why I got into this medium. So I'm watching the Academy Awards last month, and I don't watch the red carpet stuff, all that. Those are some of the most inane interviews, self-indulgent interviews, and as I said many times now, the interviewers there, they act like they're part of the conversation. When the interviewers on the red carpet, at least on television, when they do those red carpet shows, you know, they're all complimenting, the reporters are complimenting each other, and they're dressed to the nines. They're dressed sometimes better than some of the celebrities are. It's crazy, and they're complimenting each other, and it's just one big self-indulgent congratulatory thing where everybody's just stroking each other, and ugh. You know, I just don't enjoy to watch the red carpets at all. The interviews there's no substance to them. It's just, who are you wearing? What are you wearing? How exciting is it? They try to ask them questions. Then sometimes they try to get, ooh, I'm going to be serious. I'm going to ask them about their movie. Oh, boy. And they have 25 seconds to answer. So I don't watch the red carpet. So I'm not really, and I'm not all that interested in what anybody's wearing, male or female. That's just not my thing. So I don't see that very much. When I watch the telecast, and a lot of times, as I said to you before, these days, I don't really even watch much of it live. I tape it. I don't tape it because there's no such thing pretty much anymore. I record it. And then I will fast forward through all the BS and just get to the winners. So I'm not really seeing a lot of the telecast itself in terms of what people are wearing or what they're doing or what happened. I'll just fast forward to the good parts. And sometimes I might miss a good part because when I'm fast forwarding, it doesn't look like a good part, you know. But in these days, it doesn't even matter because the next day, if there's something big that happened, it certainly will be a clip of it on the internet. It's amazing the way all of our viewing and even the way we take in information has changed, and it's it's unfortunate, and I'm not saying I'm any better or worse, but you know, hey, I'm a part of the whole game here. I'm a human being like everyone else. And so, you know what? You miss it. There used to be a real concerted effort to watch these events when they happened, because that was your shot. If you didn't see it, you missed it. And if you missed it and somebody else is talking about it, there was no way to get it. And then suddenly the VCR came along, and that's okay. But now, I mean, every day, you know, you don't really need to see anything live when it happens. You know, aside from the social shame of spoiler alerts. And I've talked about spoiler alerts. When is there enough time when I can't be accused of a spoiler alert? But so anyway, I don't watch the red carpet shows, so I'm not really in tune as to what people are wearing all the time. But so I had to laugh the next day after the Academy Awards. I started to get these emails and these posts on my Facebook page, and it was all the same posts. The same story, this one story that apparently was making the rounds and getting popular, and people were reacting to it. And I got such a kick out of it because it really was something that I have had fun with ever since my radio career, had any kind of real traction back in the early 2000s, with Gary Meyer starting in 2007. And I've continued it through the podcast now, as well as whenever I do appear on the radio every so often. And it's something that it's not manufactured. This is legit. That's the way it started. It was made an observation about what I was wearing. And it just became part of my persona, and people reacted to it and had fun with it. And I've just always talked about it and elevated it. But it's not fake. It's what I did long before I was on the radio or anybody noticed. And you're saying, Jim, what the heck are you talking about? Well, of course, if you've listened to me with any regularity on the radio, in this podcast, now we're almost in May. So we're almost at the 8-year anniversary mark of this podcast, 411 episodes, what you're listening to right now. But of course, I've always talked about, especially at the holidays, is my so-called festive pin. And it's a small little wreath with some glitter on it. It used to be it's a fake wreath, obviously. It used to be part of a old Christmas ornament that my mom used to put on the tree. And I found it one day, and I said, you know, if I just put a pin on this, I could put this on my lapel during the holidays, and it would look kind of cool. And I started to wear that. And long before I even worked with Gary, I've been wearing that pin, I would probably say, for the last 25 years, if not longer. And it was so funny. It's not a beautiful pin by any means, but I would always get reactions to it, especially at the holidays. Oh, I like your pin. I like your pin. So when I started to come to know Gary as a friend, and then later as a coworker on the radio, he noticed it. He's always very observant, and he noticed I had this, you know, this pin. Now, he called it a brooch, and thus the legend began. And it became, why do you wear a brooch? And so, of course, I had to defend myself because the usual description of a brooch or the usual connotation of a brooch is that it's worn by an older woman who likes to adorn what they're wearing. And my mom used to wear pins or brooches, whatever you want to call them, on her wardrobe all the time. Maybe that's where I got it from. My dad, when he would wear a suit, he would always have a pocket square. Always. I have several of his handkerchiefs. They weren't, I mean, now they're called pocket squares. Back then they were handkerchiefs. You had to actually fold them in a certain way. Now they're made that you don't even have to fold them. You just stick them in the pocket. But my dad always had a handkerchief and a different color handkerchief to either match his shirt or match his tie. My dad was a pretty snappy dresser, and my mom too. I like to dress well, but at the same time, I've also kind of created my own persona over the last several years. I just like to wear black a lot. But I still have some moments of flash. I always have. Maybe I got a little of that from not only my parents, but also obviously being an Elton John fan. So yes, I've got some wild jackets and always have, or some wild shirts. I don't wear them as much anymore because now, sadly, it used to be something, it used to be a little different. But in today's world, as everybody is in the look at me, notice me world, everybody is wearing crazy things now because they need to stick out. I did it because I naturally enjoyed it. And it was fun. Now people don't even have a fashion sense. They're just buying things to stand out and be noticed. And maybe to some extent some of that was my motivation, but I really enjoyed wearing it. I don't know if people really enjoy wearing a lot of the crazy things they wear today. I think they wear it so they will be noticed. As I said, we're in a look at me society. I mean, now with men, especially socks are a big thing now, right? Everybody, all guys have to wear crazy socks, which then has allowed, you know, as I've said many times, when I see a trend coming, I jump away from it. When it gets too popular, I don't like to do it. A lot of times I'm ahead of the trend, which people look at me askance. Like, well, what are you doing? Oh, that's goofy. That's stupid. And then a couple of years later, they're doing it. And it's cool. And that's the only reason they're doing it, because they see other people now, more than just me, the goofball, doing it. They see more people doing it. They see people online doing it, or on TV doing it, so it's cool. They see a celebrity doing it. And now all of a sudden it's cool, and now they do it, and it becomes a trend. And that's how it happens. Now, I'm not saying I'm some big trendsetter. I'm not putting myself out there. But I will say that a lot of things that I have worn in the past that people would look at me like I was goofy are now the norm and are a trend. So in some ways are. For instance, the socks. For the last 30 years, going back 30 years, I used to wear different colored socks. Different types of socks. At the holidays, I would wear red socks or socks with ornament, you know, pictures of ornaments or Santas on them. And no one else was wearing those because you're an adult. Why are you wearing those? That looks silly. But once again, this was all before the internet and before social media. At my wedding, more than 30 years ago, I wore pink socks. I don't know many people that wore pink socks 30-some years ago. But now, people are wearing shorter, men are wearing shorter pants so that you see their socks, especially when they sit. And now people are known for, oh, Tom, he has the craziest socks collection. Yeah, okay. Well, come and look at my sock drawer from the last 30 years ago, okay? I said I'm not bragging or saying that I'm some trendsetter, but a lot of the things that I see people wearing now, I've been wearing for years. and not making a big deal about it. But in today's world, everything everybody does, they make a big deal about it. So I wore this pin, which then I joked and said, well, it's not a brooch. I always joked. I was like, older women wear brooches. And then I would joke and say, and I still do, virile men wear festive pins. But I've always been wearing some kind of a pin on my coat or jacket for years and years and years, since I was a little kid. I remember wearing a Santa pin that I still have. That's got to be, I don't even know how old it must be. When in the Chicago area here, they would give you a pin if you went to the Amling's haunted house. I would wear that. I always wore something on my lapel. If I wore a suit, I would have a lapel pin of some kind. I've been wearing that for decades. For the last 40-some years, when I was a teenager, even before that. I think I probably first started wearing it, something like on my lapels, you know, like I said, going back to the pins of what going to this haunted house. But then, of course, in the 70s and especially in the 80s, then wearing pins became like a fashion statement, especially like pins with rock bands. I think it started in England and it came over here with the punk era, like in the late 70s. With the punk era, a lot of the punks would be wearing these pins that were of their favorite bands or just designs or something that looked kind of, you know, cool and hip and, you know, anarchy kind of things. And it came over here, then it became a fashion statement. I have a box filled with pins that I'm sure if some people saw them, that like younger people now, they would go nuts saying, oh my God, can I have this one? Can I have that one? Because there's some really cool pins that are probably 40 years old. That of all the different rock bands of the time and the era, or even before that, I have, and I would wear them all the time. Still do. I still wear lapel pins, not as many as I used to. Right now, on my winter coat, I have a pin, an Elton John pin of a face of Elton John on one of my coats. I always have something on. I have Phantom of the Opera lapel pins. I have a Don Quixote helmet pin. I have the thing that I used to enjoy about that when I still do, on my winter coat, I would have this. This David Yurman, who's a very well-known designer, very nice, classy kind of heart pin on one side of my coat. And then I would have the festive pin on my other collar. And this festive pin, as I said, it's this old, kind of worn out, you know, fake little wreath with little red, they're supposed to be like berries, you know, a wreath has a berry and then some glitter on it. I mean, but it's kind of kitschy, which I love. And it kind of sums up, you know, the season, and it sends a message to people that see it like, oh, this guy likes Christmas, which I do. I've talked about that many times. I love Christmas. So it's to me, once again, I'm not wearing something that's so obvious to say, look at me. My fashion sense is I try to wear something, but I try to wear it subtly so that you have to pay attention. And it's not screaming, hey, look at me. Look at my crazy socks. You know, I wore the socks at my wedding, but you couldn't tell until maybe when I sat down. I wasn't showing them off. Today, people buy, you know, men especially buy because it's a fashionable thing. They buy all these crazy looking socks. And the pants are deliberately short now so that you can see the crazy socks. So now some people have, you know, they're known for their crazy sock collection. But they're known for it because they're trying to pay to get attention, not because they really necessarily like the socks. It's a thin line. I understand that, but as I said, was I looking for it? Was I wearing those socks for attention? It wasn't so much attention. As I said, at Christmas time, it was red socks for Christmas. It was a little fashion statement, but it was tied into something. That's the way I would do it. If I would go to the theater, I have a Phantom of the Opera kind of lapel stick pin. So if I'm going to the theater, that would be I would wear my Phantom mask stick pin because it's associated with that. I'm not wearing some big corsage just to be noticed. It's a subtle stick pin. If you notice it, you see it, you go, oh, that's kind of cool. That's nice. It's interesting. But I don't bring attention to it. I don't say, hey, look at my thing. Look at that. It's there. If you notice it, I'm glad you notice it, and I hope you like it. So it's a subtle kind of fashion statement. It's a subtle kind of message or tie-in to where I'm at or what I'm doing or who I am, right? I mean, I'm Elton Jim, so why not have a little Elton pin on my lapel, right? If it's Christmas time, why not have if I have this David Yurman pin of a heart shape, I like hearts. So that might say something about me to someone else. Who knows? So I got a kick out of this because the day after the Oscars, there was a story apparently, I'm not sure where it was, where it originated, but the story was that the big fashion trend at this year's Oscar for men, not women, for men, was the brooch. And first of all, let's start off by saying the word brooch is spelled B-R-O-O-C-H. It looks like brooch, but it's pronounced brooch, okay? But you spell it brooch, B-R-O-O-C-H. And as I said, I didn't watch any of the, red carpet shows. I didn't really pay attention to the winners or the presenters. I was fast-forwarding. I fast-forwarded through the speeches as well. Most of those are self-indulgent. And so I wasn't really I didn't notice these brooches, and you'd think I would, since I wear lapel pins. I won't call them brooches. Now it'll be cool to call them brooches. That was what the headline was in the story. But I had to laugh because several people, whether it was through email or on my Facebook page, sent me a link to this story. And I got such a kick out of it because I was like, I always mention about wearing this festive pin and I wear these lapel pins, and I didn't know, get back to what I was originally saying, that's become a part of my persona, which I've obviously, helped promote because I saw the way people reacted to it. So it became a fun thing. But I would be wearing my little wreath pin at Christmas time and wearing my lapel pins on my suit jackets or sport jackets or on my coats of any kind, spring or winter or summer coats, all the time anyway. I have quite a collection of different little lapel pins. I've always worn them. So whether it was, I didn't do it to be noticed or to be known as the guy that wears those. But because so few people did wear them, I guess people noticed what I wore. And that's the idea of a fashion statement, right? To sort of, I mean, that's why I said it's a fine line. If I didn't want to be noticed in some way, I wouldn't wear anything. So I am sending out a message here to people. If they don't know me, here, if I've got this little Elton John pin, they don't know that I'm Elton Jim. You know, 99 out of 100 people don't know that. Probably 99 and three quarters of the people don't know that. Probably 100% of the people don't know that if I'm walking around. Let's be honest, right? They don't know I'm Elton Jim, but if I'm wearing this pin, they might notice it and know then, well, he must be an Elton John fan. Now, if they know that I am Elton John, Jim, they know that's my nickname, and they see the pin, and they even go, oh, well, hey, you know, he's legit, right? I always say, hey, I earned that nickname. If you know that nickname of mine, I earned it. I think I've earned it. I think over the last 50 years or so. So, don't get me wrong. I'm certainly doing it for some reason, but not necessarily just to be noticed. I'm doing it because it's a part of who I am. The way our house is decorated. If you walked into our house, you would see a representation of who we are in this house. By how it's decorated, by what we have on the walls, what we have. This house, I believe, reflects who we are, what our interests are, who we are. There's some houses you walk into, and they represent what the fashion trend is. There's nothing personalized about it. It's what is in vogue. It doesn't really say anything about them. Doesn't represent their likes or tastes. It just represents what the taste is, which is really a message too, that they're worried about being accepted in the culture. I'm not all that worried about that. I try to be who I am. If someone likes it, that's great. If someone doesn't, that's their problem too. Doesn't matter to me. But as I said, So whether I'm in my house, I'm surrounded by things that I like that represent who I am in some cases. And when I go out in public, I try to represent that and give off that message. I'm not really looking for attention. It's more about presenting who I am in a subtle way to let you know I like this, I like that, you know, whatever. It's a subtle way of making a connection with people, of providing a little information. Yes, it's a little style. There's no question about that. There's a fashion statement. There's style. I'm not denying that. It's all a part of it. But my point is, I think today people are just looking as to what's popular, what will people notice, and they just adopt it. Not because they have any kind of personal attachment to it at all. Whatever you see me wearing, even if it's a lapel pin or anything else, that is a part of me. Believe me, it's been chosen carefully. You should actually look at it for what I'm not wearing and then what I am. You will not see me liking or wearing or projecting to the outside world the most popular thing there is right now. As I said, I always run away from that. But I like to try to do it in a subtle way. So I get this email about brooches. That's the way they did it. They don't know about my term, obviously, of festive pins. Although, if you wear a lapel pin of some kind, I renamed my little wreath a festive pin because the holiday season is festive. But as I said, I wear lapel pins of all kind on many of my coats. In fact, I was going somewhere and I wanted to wear. One of my favorite literary characters is Don Quixote, who tilted at windmills. I've tilted at my share, no doubt about that. The great impossible dreamer, right? So I really I've read the Don Quixote book, and I've seen the play of Don Quixote, and I was just always was so attracted to that character. I've got little statues, and we've gone to Spain and things like that where Quixote took place. And so I've just have a connection to Don Quixote. And so I've got this little pin that I got in Spain when I went there that is, you know, if you've ever seen the Don Quixote character, he wears this helmet that has a round cutout in the brim of it. And basically why, it's because back then when there were knights and soldiers and people that were going out on the road, this the helmet that Don Quixote wears, which is really a symbol of who he is, this dreamer who thinks he's this great knight, but he really isn't. But he carries himself with that kind of confidence. The Don Quixote hat that you see him wear, the helmet that he wears, is actually, now there, the word is used correctly, because it's something that is, in effect, not. That's where the word actually you can use. But his helmet, in reality, how about that? I didn't have to use actually, right? It took me a little, maybe a millisecond to think of in reality, rather than saying actually. It's possible, folks. I'm never going to get over that. In reality, his helmet that he wears with great pride, as if he's this knight errant, that this brave knight that was going out to protect the honor of his woman Dulcinea, and to go out and fight monsters, and which really are windmills in his fantasy world. So he's this ragged knight, but in his mind he's wearing an armor of a brave, brave man. In reality, that helmet that he wears with such pride is, in fact, a bowl for shaving. The crescent, the half moon cutout in the brim for these knights or these guys that were out on the road so they could shave was a metal, it was a metal bowl. The part that you put on your head, that was the bowl shape. The cutout of the brim went underneath your neck. So you put this, your neck around, and then your face was over the bowl, and you shaved with the water. Well, Don Quixote used this shaving bowl as his helmet. And that is one of the emblems of Don Quixote. So I have this little gold Don Quixote helmet that I will sometimes wear. Now, once again, some people may see that helmet on my lapel, and they may know that that's a Don Quixote, that's a reference to Don Quixote. Other people may see it and not know what it is. That's fine. If someone comes up to me and says, I like your Don Quixote pin, I will know that they know who Don Quixote is, and they will learn something about me. The fact that I'm wearing a Don Quixote pin must mean that I like Don Quixote. And what do you like about Don Quixote? What attributes about Don Quixote? So my point is, it's a reflection of who I am. That's the example, I would say. And some people may see that and not understand it, they might not even turn an eye to it. And if they see it, they might not understand it, and they'll move on. That's fine. I'm sending that out as a part of who I am. If you notice it and know it, great. If not, no harm, no foul. I'm not wearing a spotlight. I'm not saying, hey, look at me. I'm not wearing the most trendiest thing that you have to notice because everyone's doing it. So I was looking, I was going to an event, and I wanted to wear something, and I was like, you know, I haven't worn my Don Quixote pin in a while. So I went into my little, my drawer where I have all these different pins from the over the years, and I looked through all of them in little cases and things like that, and I couldn't find my Don Quixote pin. And I'm like, wow, this is, I'm so, so I found another pin, which that day someone did ask me about. Oh, what is that? It's a nice pin. So once again, conversation starter, explained what it was. And once again, it was an extension of who I was. But I was so mad I couldn't find the Don Quixote pin because I really like it. And now it bugged me because I didn't know where it was. About 2 months later, I was going through our front closet where we keep our coats. And I was looking at a coat that I haven't worn in a long time. It was a winter coat, a long coat. And I haven't worn it in probably a couple of years, in fact. And I just happened, in it, but it's still there. It's a nice coat. And I still wear it on occasion, but obviously not as much as some of the other coats. And so I was just pulling, I was rearranging the coats so they weren't as bunched on the line with the hangers. And I pulled the coat out just to, you know, spread some of the other coats out and then give this one a little more room. And as I pulled the coat off the line, still on the hanger, I looked on the lapel of this coat, and there was my Don Quixote pin. I never would have thought in a million years. Well, maybe I left it on somewhere because I must have been wearing that coat regularly for a while, a couple of years ago, and then stopped. And then it's winter, so then the coat went into the closet and never really looked at it again. And then I started wearing another coat regularly. And so I was, so happy I found my Don Quixote pin, but it was exactly where it should have been, on a coat. For the world to see, not in a little case or a little holder or a little in my drawer somewhere. It was on my coat. I haven't worn that coat, but at least I found my Don Quixote pin. So the point of this story, though, so I was intrigued, and it was a cool feeling to think that some people that I didn't even know who they were, some were friends, but some were people that I didn't even know, just Facebook friends or listeners who maybe I've never had any contact with, but they saw this story about brooches, and the headline was the new the 2024 Oscar trend, men wearing brooches. And so people sent that to me and said, hey, Elton Jim, you're way ahead. You know, this story's for you, type of thing. And so I read the story. And there was pictures, of course, of many of the evening's big winners and other, you know, attendees of the Oscars. And for some reason, this year, many men with their tuxedos or their jackets or whatever outfits they were wearing, that must have been, the word got out that this year, four men amongst the Oscar, all the designers who were dressing the different actors for the Oscars, that the word was out that they are going to be wearing some accent pieces, and the cooler the brooch, the cooler the lapel pin, the better. And so I don't know if these actors, they acquiesce to what the designer does and says that, hey, this is going to be cool. But suddenly, for some reason, the word got out among the main designers that men's lapel pins or brooches, whatever you want to call them, are going to be cool suddenly. Because it wasn't just one person wearing one. There were several high-profile people, including many Oscar winners and Oscar nominees or previous Oscar winners. Cillian Murphy, who won for Oppenheimer, had this elaborate brooch, this elaborate lapel pin. Robert Downey Jr., another one, Academy Award winner last year. Mark Ruffalo, who was nominated. John Krasinski was married to Emily Blunt, you know, on The Office. John Krasinski, he was wearing one. You know, Matthew McConaughey, one of the coolest, hippest guys around, Oscar winner, he was wearing one. And these were not just small, little, subtle pins like I might wear. No, no, no. These were big, bold fashion statements. They were designed by Tiffany's and by Cartier. These were not cheap. They were, you know, diamond encrusted and big designs, and they were obvious. So go online and look up Men's Brooches Oscars 2024, and you'll see some of these pictures by some of the people I mentioned, as well as some other actors and attendees. For some reason, the men's lapel pin became the 2024 Oscar fashion statement. I'm still leery of using the term brooch. In the story, that's what they said, men wearing brooches. And this, and every lead paragraph started with, oh, you know, brooches are mostly associated with women or older women or your grandmother, but not anymore. Some of the most prestigious designers in the world, like Cartier and Tiffany, made some brooches for some of the most watched and fashion conscious and some of the biggest stars in Hollywood and Oscar winners and Oscar nominees. And so, hey, these people, at the very least, if they didn't know they were going to win an Academy Award, they certainly knew that they were going to be photographed and attention was going to be paid, because most of them were nominees. And for the other ones, they wanted some attention. So suddenly now, the lapel pin, the brooch, is being used as a trendy, look at me kind of item. Now, I'm not going to stop wearing my lapel pins because of this. I may actually, the interesting thing is, I may now get more people noticing it, because now more people may be aware of them. So it'll be interesting now to do my own little social experiment, because I'm going to keep wearing my lapel pins like I do. And it'll be interesting to see now if more, I don't get a lot of comments. I get every so often, but now it'll be interesting to see, because now if this indeed is, if lapel pins or brooches, whatever you want to call them, do become now the cool fashion statement, and I'm sure it won't last for a long time, and I'll be wearing them now and after it's cool. I've always worn them. It'll be interesting to see if more people start to notice them, just because more people will now be looking to the lapel for some adornment, whereas perhaps in the past they didn't even notice because their eyes weren't attuned to that. But now fashion conscious people may be more attuned to it. So I'm going to do my own little psychological test here, my own little sociological test, not psychological, sociological test, to see, are more people now noticing my lapel pins? I'm not going to go out of my way to wear anything different than I have, because that would be defeating the purpose. I'm going to wear my usual lapel pins. And I'm not going to go out and buy any new ones that are big and gaudy and look at me, which a lot of people may, depending if this trend catches on. But I'm going to notice now if I see people either looking at them or even commenting on it. As I remember I was recently at an event and I had my coat on, and as I walked out, I heard, as I walked past, I didn't know who it was, and I heard someone say, oh, look at that, cool, that's a cool Elton John pin. So someone noticed it. So I'm wondering now if people who are more fashion conscious are looking at lapels. We'll see. All I know is the lapels on my coats and in my jackets and my sport coats, they all have small little holes on them for years, because I've always worn a lapel pin. My jean jackets back in the day had the pins of Bruce Springsteen and Elton John and Annie Lennox and I'm trying to remember Elvis Costello, all my favorite bands. I still have all those pins. The Honeymooners and Maynard G. Krebs and Sergeant Bilko and Herman Munster as well. I had television pins. I had music pins. You name it. I had radio station pins. Still have them. Maybe someday I'll just fill my coat with all of them and just go, here they are. And probably nowadays, if you ever see, a lot of young kids are wearing the concert t-shirts from 30, 40, or 50 years ago. You see young kids wearing AC/DC and you know, Nirvana and older bands, you know, The Who and you know, The Beatles and stuff like that. I bet you all of my cool pins from 30 or 40 years ago are cool again. I should wear them more now. Maybe I'll start wearing some of my cool pins, not just my lapel pins that maybe are a little more fashionable. Maybe just some of my cool rock music, pop culture pins, because now those will probably look cool. I don't know if me wearing them would be as cool anymore since, you know, I'm a little older now. Maybe it looks like as an old guy trying to look cool, but hey, this is who I am, right? But I just have to say that it was a little affirming because I've taken a lot of kidding from people saying, why are you wearing a brooch? Why are you wearing a brooch? Why are you wearing a brooch? And now suddenly, some of the hippest, coolest people in Hollywood, the trendsetters, are wearing brooches. In fact, I might even stop calling this year. I might even stop calling my festive pin, my little wreath with a safety pin in it. My little, it's got to be 70 years old, if not more, that I put pin onto my lapel every Christmas. This year, I might not even make the distinction. I might even call it a brooch and say, oh yeah, would you say that to Robert Downey Jr.? Would you say that to Cillian Murphy? Would you say that to Matthew McConaughey? What can I say? Ahead of the trends, setting the trends, not on purpose. But now, suddenly, this one thing that I have been so ridiculed, and in a fun way, I get it, but I've been ridiculed for so many years, I can proudly say, brooches are cool. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 411. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of my mind to your ears. Brooch.